flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You said, of course, that's Mike's opinion?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised at all. I don't think anybody would be surprised.
Valeni yesterday said to me, and this was on Cash the Ticket, he goes, I would take 11 wins next year for the Lions. I expect a step back. Losing both coordinators is a big deal to him. And he said he would take 11 wins. And I go, what? John, where are you at?
This is an impossible ask to figure out what right now to put a number on it.
Right. We don't know free agency, the draft, or the schedule yet.
What I will say is because when you're doing this, you're doing it with this year's team. And now you're under the assumption that all those guys that were injured are healthy and they're back, because we have no idea what free agency brings. We have no idea who leaves, who's coming to Detroit. We don't have any idea what they're going to do in the draft. We haven't even talked about the draft here on this show. But I will say this. Do I think that there's going to be a step back in production in numbers? There certainly could be offensively.
They're the number one offense.
Number one offense. So can you stay at the number one offense with a new coordinator? I think it's unlikely.
Could you be 3 or 4? Could you still have a top 5 offense? I mean, they still have a quarterback who's efficient. The terminology is not changing. The protection shouldn't change. The offensive line should largely be intact. He still has St. Brown, Gibbs, and Montgomery.
A large part of this, and we don't even know when they're going to play these teams. We know who the teams are, and I get that the away schedule, right? You get your 3 division opponents, and then you're at Washington. All right? Tell me that doesn't strike a little fear into you. You're at Philly. They're playing in the Super Bowl. You're at Cincinnati. Like that. That's a tough one to go to. You're at Baltimore, Kansas City, the Rams. Like the road schedule is a gauntlet. So you just look at those teams and you think, okay, will they, even though they could be as good as they were this year, and I say that with the offense maybe taking a little bit of a step back, the defense taking a big step forward just in terms of health.
Yeah.
Do I expect them to be a 15-2 team? No, I don't. But
park the bus, people.
My bus was at 14. So
you still could rub that bad boy up.
Let's just keep it warm. Do I think they're still the best team in the division?
Yeah.
Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota. Absolutely. Does 11 wins win the division? It very well could.
It could.
In 25. Does 12 wins? I would, and we're splitting hairs when we talk about this. I would probably go into right now not having any answers. Say that it's going to be at a minimum a 12-win team.
Okay.
And I think 12 wins wins you the division. Now, again, what's the difference between 11 and 12? And please don't text in one. But I do think that, okay, this year Green Bay won 11 games. Minnesota won 14. We're well aware of that. And the Lions won 15. I think the division is going to be much more competitive next year in division. I don't know what Ben Johnson does in Chicago, but I do think Green Bay is always going to be a menace. I don't think they're good or great. I think they're a menace. Minnesota, are they going with J.J. McCarthy? Is he going to even be available at the start of the season? What do they do with Sam Darnold? Like, I don't know who their quarterback is even going to be. I do know that Kevin O'Connell is a really good coach. So they're going to continue to be a good team.
Do I think the Lions will go 6-0 in the division? No, that feels really tough to duplicate. Do I think they'll win 15 games? No, that's super tough to duplicate. It's only happened 9 times in the history of the NFL that a team has won 15 or more football games. So by definition, they'll take a step back. They're losing the coordinators. There will be a resetting and a reshuffling there. I still feel like 11 wins is settling, though. Because I still expect the offense to be top five. I think a full season of Aiden, a full season of Aleem McNeil. Right. Just like I don't think they're going to go 6-0 in the division, I also don't think they're going to have 20 players on IR. So I think this is a 12-win team at least. I don't want to settle for 11 is why I was so caught off guard when he said it.
Well, and so I don't want this to come across as defending Mike, but I do somewhat agree with him because I'm sure part of the thinking is, all right, Aiden Hutchinson. Coming off of a devastating leg injury, is he going to be the same? Is he going to hit the ground running at the beginning of the year? That's a big question mark. And
McNeil won't be ready to start the year, I wouldn't imagine.
Correct. And so if you don't have a lean McNeil, but then it goes to what are we doing in free agency?
Right.
What happened? DJ Reader is going to be a year older, but he's still, I thought he had a good year. There's just a lot of unknown. So if you just take everything at face value and say, well, I don't think they're another 15-2 team, so then you're left with, okay, is it 14, 13, 12, 11, 10? There's some people that are going to say, oh, well, no, it's a step back all the way to 9-8. We will get those callers.
I know we will.
And we will get those people because you have two different coordinators. And I think there's going to be much more stability defensively. Defensively, they're going to be better than they were this year. And this year, they were better than they were last year
mm-hmm.
through a vast majority of the season. Offensively, just because you may take steps back in terms of numbers doesn't mean that that's a step back in losses or in wins.
Yeah, you and I have said this is Dan Campbell's offense.
Yep.
He has acknowledged that he was more involved with the offense post Anthony Lynn. I think Ben Johnson conceded the runway's been built and it doesn't matter who's calling plays. Hell, Dan may call plays. We don't know. I don't think the offense has fallen off a cliff, and I think the defense is going to be considerably better when healthy. I'm not willing to concede and just accept 11 wins. I'd like to give this team a chance to compete for more. They are one of the better rosters in the NFL. I wouldn't settle for 11. And honestly, it feels kind of like a safe week thing. Like, well, I'll just take 11. Now I don't want to compete for more. Well, you're every bit good enough to win more.
Anytime you take a deal like this at this time of the year, it's always going to be settling. And so I'm with you. I'm not willing to settle. I'm not willing to sit there and say it's a huge step back. But here's where I think they don't necessarily take a huge step back offensively. What do we know about John Morton? Yeah, he's been at a number of different places. He's only been a play caller once. That was 7 years ago. A lot has happened since then. The teams that he's been with, he has even been here. So he's not coming in blind. But coming from as a pass game coordinator, I like that they brought somebody in with that in their background because that's the most complicated part of running an offense. It's the pass game coordinator along with the protections. And they kept Hank Fraley, so the protections are taken care of.
Huge deal.
He's coming from Sean Payton and we all know Sean Payton is calling the plays. What type of offense does Dan Campbell run? It's Sean Payton's offense. Yeah. And where did he learn? He talks to Coach Payton. Talked about it last year. I guarantee you he's talked to him since the end of the season. And he talked to him about hiring John Morton. Like, can he come in here and is he willing to take direction from the head coach? You're not going to be in Denver and working for Sean Payton if you can't take orders and direction and handle leadership from the head coach position. Dan Campbell is going to be that leader of this offense. Now, is John Morton going to be calling plays on Sunday? Well, he might be.
Yeah.
As long as he calls it the way Dan wants it.
As I say, I think there will be synergy there. Okay, response from you guys. Would you take 11 wins right now for next season? Texter says, I think 10 wins would be amazing next year. Losing all these coaches plus a tough road schedule, to me, it looks like 8 or 9. Signed, Ben. John, you knew we'd get these texts.
Sure.
One says, I think 11 is a good number. We have a favorable home schedule, but it's always going to be tough. Texter says, it's not just losing the coordinators. It's the fact that Brad won't pick up star players, especially at end or linebacker. We're playing all the best teams in the league. We're a year older at every position. Some of that's good and some of that's bad. Texter says, all we needed was a healthy defense and our team would essentially be the same again. We're healthy. We'll have the number one seed again. Is what that's why you don't settle for 11. Texter says 11 is our floor for next year. Valeni is right. That schedule's brutal. I would take 11. Mike is just saying he wants them to make the playoffs. Expecting anything more sounds like one of those cookies double-digit discos. Bad take, Jim.
No, I don't think it borders on that. I think if you're going to settle for 11, you don't want the risk that you would be taking on the ceiling or the floor.
What's the risk if I don't take this deal? This team only wins 8 games. I don't really see that happening. I think they're going to be in the playoffs.
It's a playoff team. I think it's a playoff team. Without an injury to Goff,
of course,
it's a playoff team. But what you're basically saying is, if we're going to settle for 11, because I think 12 is going to be what it takes to win the division, then you're saying we're settling as a wild card team.
Texter says, who wouldn't settle for 11? No one cares about 15. I know we feel that way because 15 got them nowhere. 15 right. Got them in a first game exit. They got them a 2-touchdown loss at home at Ford Field. I understand people saying, what the hell difference does it make winning 11, 12, 15, or hell, all 17 of them? What difference does it make? Just get me in the playoffs. I agree, but I want, if all was equal, I'd want the home game, right?
Some of it's going to be...
I'd want a favorable matchup. Just because they didn't take advantage of it this year doesn't mean you never want it again.
Right. Some of it's going to be when do you play these teams? When do you play them early? And who are you playing in December? And we're looking at this as playing Baltimore at full strength, at Cincinnati at full strength, Philly, Washington, all at full strength. Well, what if Washington... What one of these quarterbacks gets hurt? Now, all of a sudden, traveling to Cincinnati... doesn't seem so bad.
In terms of the division and the schedule, all the other NFC North teams have to play the AFC North, too.
Good point.
So they're playing those quarterbacks, too. I think the one thing with the schedule is you are playing 3 of the top 4 quarterbacks in the league. I mean, there's a definitive 4 right now. I think Lamar's 4th out of that, but Burrow, Mahomes, no Allen. Okay?
Yeah, let's say
you got to play them all in their house. So you go 1-2 in those, okay? So you got to, if you're going to go 12-5, then... you got to go 11-3 with the others. I think that's doable if things pan out and they stay relatively healthy. I'm still a little curious about the defense, healthy. We didn't get to see him healthy against a top quarterback, other than if you want to include Stafford at the beginning of the year. And then, everybody knows the team had preseason cobwebs in that game. So there's a little bit unknown to this. I mean, and I would guess in this, it's going to be funny. I bet you Vegas... so that's the over-under for the Lions at 11.5.
I'm sure they will. They are spot on with this stuff. We got Dear John coming up at 7:35. Some of the prompts: Iron Man, Cancun, The Artifact, and Role Play. Got 2 Grand Slam next. It's 97.1.
Hey, I always say this, words matter. And a personal injury attorney of any sort is, in fact, by definition and by words that you use, personal. Injury attorney David Femininio has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is also dedicated to ensuring that you get all the medical care that you need to put your life back together after an accident. You need an attorney who's going to make it personal, and that attorney is David Femininio. If you or someone you know is injured, you need to tell them to call David Femininio right now at 855-65-CRASH or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, before we get to the two grand slam, Heather,
yes.
Let's go to the news.
Well, there is a large-scale search that's still underway after an American Airlines flight collided with a U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter near Reagan National Airport, just outside of Washington, D.C. The plane, which had 64 on board, was traveling from Wichita, Kansas, Wednesday night. The crash occurred as the flight was prepping to land. Like, they were headed into that airport. And that airport is one of the busiest, most complicated airports for air travel. And that Black Hawk helicopter was on a training flight at the time. Three crew members were on board the helicopter. When they collided, a massive fireball erupted upon impact. And then the two aircrafts crashed into the Potomac River. So, of course, there has been a massive, 300 people search and rescue. Unfortunately, no survivors have been found. More than 30 bodies have been pulled from the river. But there is some audio between the helicopter and air traffic control, basically showing that there was communication. No, we don't have it.
It's not airworthy.
Oh, yeah, it's not. Okay. Yeah. But there was audio that showed that there had been communication with air traffic control just moments before the crash occurred. It's just devastating. And the figure skating world is mourning and is in shock because a lot of people on board that aircraft had ties with the figure skating community. The U.S. figure skating community did release a statement saying that there was coaches, family, athletes on board. There was also some Russian figure skaters on board as well.
It's an unbelievable tragedy. Yeah.
Terrible news.
Have you seen the video?
No. I've seen that it is out there, but no. Did you watch it?
I mean, I have it up. I mean, it's just such
Then
you have all these people driving around, and I'm sure they
Pick
up and you see this fireball
in the
sky.
And the sound, that's what people are saying in the area, that it sounded like a war zone. I mean, imagine what that, I can only imagine what it sounded
and
like.
And there's so many people that are waking up to the news and seeing it, it's a tragedy. And there are a lot of people waking up, like Lisa, who are headed to the airport and flying today. And it gives you anxiety. Air travel is extremely safe. But when something like this happens, it certainly
rattles you a little bit.
Oh, it rattles you. It certainly does. It rattled. Mm-hmm. I mean, it rattled me knowing that she's going to be in the air today.
Sure. It's very scary. It's very sad. Very tragic. A Michigan State trooper was forced to jump a median on I-75 when a suspected drunk driver crashed into their patrol car. Happened Wednesday morning. Troopers were investigating a minor traffic crash on northbound 75 near M46. This was in the Saginaw area when another driver speeding by hit the trooper's vehicle. Now, nobody was inside the patrol car at the time, but a trooper was hit while having to jump out of the path so that he wasn't smashed by these vehicles. Occupants in the car that were involved in the original crash were also injured in this second crash. So the trooper, the people in that vehicle were all taken to the hospital for minor injuries. And the driver who crashed into the patrol car was arrested for drunk driving. A new Top Golf and a couple of new fast food restaurants are one step closer to opening in Canton. close to you or close to where you were, John. Uh-huh. So after postponing a decision in September, the Canton Township Planning Commission voted unanimously this week to approve this new proposal. The plan goes now to the Canton Township Board of Trustees for consideration. And if it is approved, phase one of the project will include construction of two fast food restaurants starting this summer. And this is in like on a 55-acre site in the township's east side. And then phase two will focus on building Topgolf. But that isn't likely to begin until at least 2026.
It would be awesome. I mean, I have you ever been to one?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're not a quote-unquote golfer.
I'm not a golfer. I had a blast.
They are so much fun. And especially now that Jack is getting into it, it means I'm going to have to go. Yeah, cool. He is. Yeah. And I'll be into it more because I want to do it with him. They're just fun to be at.
Yeah. And
whether it's the restaurants there or it's the food that they serve at the Topgolf while you're...
Sure, it's fun. I mean... Yeah,
taking your wax.
And you don't have to chase the ball around if you're lousy. I mean, right. Because I played with a couple of friends who were very, very good. And then I played with a couple, including myself, who were terrible.
Yeah.
And it just kind of evens it out.
And you can still actually... Well, I at least can feel like I'm a decent golfer. You go up on the upper levels and at least...
Yeah. There's one main target, the closest target.
I'm like, okay, I can at least get it there. I can't...
Yeah.
Go that far. Anyway.
I want to get Costa on the course, see what he's like.
A disaster. All right.
I'll drive the cart. I'll drink the beer.
Yeah. Let's
give away some money.
All right, guys. We're on a roll here. We've had some decent contestants the past few times, so I'm feeling good about this one. I hope we can give away $2,000. 60 seconds. Somebody could be $2,000 richer. So 10 questions, $25 for each question answered correctly. And then, of course, the big prize.
Mm-hmm.
$2,000 if they can get them all right.
Our contestant this morning, Ryan in Royal Oak. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Ryan, how you feeling?
I'm feeling all right. How you guys doing?
We're good. We're ready to give away a whole bunch of money. I hope you're ready to win a whole bunch of money.
Yep, we're gonna try to. We're heading to Boston here in a little bit for a little vacation. So this extra money could help.
Oh, right, awesome! So he's got some backup too. He's with other people. Oh, yeah. All right.
Yep,
so Ryan,
motivation this morning.
Your time is gonna start as soon as I start reading the first question. If you don't know one, pass. And if there's enough time, I'm gonna get back to it. All right, are you ready?
Awesome. We're ready.
All right, here we go. Who did the Pistons play last night?
Indiana Pacers.
This Detroit Tigers player wears jersey number 30.
Kerry Carpenter.
What is the state capital of Ohio?
Pass.
What is the nickname of the Detroit Tigers AA affiliate in Erie?
Pass.
Who played Danny Ocean in the 2001 movie Ocean's 11?
Pass.
Who is the current punter for the Detroit Lions?
Jack Fox.
Super Bowl 59 will air on this television network.
Pass.
This band had the 1984 hit Hot for Teacher.
Pass.
Who did the Jacksonville Jaguars recently hire as their head coach?
Liam Combs.
Who played Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace?
Pass.
All right, we got you with four, so it's $100.
Not bad, not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, it'll get you a lobster in Boston.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling,
yeah.
We'll put you on hold. We'll get you paid. It's $100 on the two grand slam.
There were some tough ones that he passed on. There were some, I thought, maybe a couple of gimmies that he passed on as well.
Yeah. Sometimes he took too long to pass, and that was also the problem.
Yeah, but he did get through all 10.
He got through all 10, but
actually
he
had
passed
a shot
on
at all of them. Yeah,
I thought we were headed for something special when he got Carpenter right.
I did too.
Because the jersey number ones are tough, and he's
out of season,
a big player, but not like the first one you would think of.
Yeah.
So I thought, and two, if you get that, I would think he would get the Erie,
the AA affiliate. Yeah, let's go through this. So the Pistons played the Pacers last night. We're going to talk about that coming up at 8:02. Isaiah Stewart ejected. J.B. Bickerstaff came to his defense. Mm-hmm. Second question was, Kerry Carpenter wears number 30. Mm-hmm. State capital of Ohio, John.
I mean, come on. You got to know this one. It's Columbus.
Yeah, it must be a crappy state.
Yep. Well,
Double A Erie Seawolves.
Seawolves. Yep.
Danny Ocean, played by
George Clooney. Now, if you're going to throw out a guess, I think you would throw out either Brad Pitt or George Clooney.
Yes. Yeah. Current pitcher or current punter for the Detroit Lions is Jack Fox. And then that's kind of a
lead into the broadcast.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he would connect the dots on that one.
Super Bowl 59 will air on this television network. And he waited so long. If you
just throw out one of the
Fox,
three.
Right. NBC, CBS. Come on. Van Halen had the hit Hot for Teacher.
Classic.
Liam Cohen with Duval.
Yeah.
Cringe moment. He is the Jaguars coach. And Obi-Wan Kenobi, played by
Ewan McGregor.
Yep.
So I think we need to do a litmus test at the end of the show with one of these questions.
Yeah.
And it's number 5. And it's the George Clooney one.
For
if
Doug?
If Doug knows it, shame on you.
I don't think he's going to know it.
Well, it's not Denzel, so Doug's not going to know
John
it.
John knows way more about movies than Doug. But my first thing on you, you're not the biggest movie aficionado, and you just rattled Pitt and Clooney. You got to guess one of those right off your tongue.
Oh, sure. Yeah, so, you guess one of them, and you got a 50% chance of being right.
Well, I don't know if Doug knows if Brad Pitt or George Clooney were in the movie.
I've never seen it. I didn't know.
Really?
I was thinking it was Matt Damon.
Another good guess. Yes.
He played Linus.
Yeah.
Was he in the movie?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, okay. Then he's one of the 11. On the right track.
There you go. All right. We got Dear John coming up next. We'll talk Pistons top of the hour, the Isaiah Stewart ejection. You can't be doing that. Although Bickerstaff defended him. We'll play the audio. It's 97.1.
America's favorite place to watch all your great sporting events. Football, basketball, baseball is at Stadium Swim. Hockey, throw that one in there as well. Located at Circa Resort and Casino. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for us, the sports fan. Chill in one of the 6 pools on 3 different levels. For a great seat, no matter where you are, and a perfect view of the massive 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen located at Circa Resort and Casino. It's in downtown Las Vegas, and is right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Once a week, we look to John Jansen for advice.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Dear John Jansen,
what do we got today?
At gmail.com. We have 4 different questions for you. Heather, start us out.
All right. So this one is the Iron Man question. Dear John, what do you think of people who gut it out and show up to work sick? I work in an office and we're fully back in person. Last week, I had a coworker show up and he looked like death. Lots of coughing, sneezing, and clearly not himself. He could just log on from home and use the sick days, but he considers himself an Iron Man and brags about never missing a day. It's a job. They can fire you, whatever. I don't get it. And I don't get selflessly showing up and giving others whatever you have.
Well, I guess some of it depends on the office setup. Is he in his own cubicle? Is he able to remain distanced from everybody else? I think at this time of the year, it's a good practice to, you know, hand wash, do all of those things, because we're all touching multiple surfaces. If I don't have a problem with somebody with this concept, I like guys, gals, whoever it is, that are going to show up to work, do their job. You can count on them being there. And I mean, it also depends on the type of job he has, because there are a lot of jobs that, yeah, you could log on and do it from home, but it's just not, you're not going to be as productive. You're not, if you're part of a team, you're not going to be as productive as a team on that day, and you might miss an opportunity.
Yeah, maybe. I don't really agree with you. I agree with some of the things you said about it depends on the type of job. And is he working alone in a cubicle? Is he interacting with other coworkers?
Yeah.
Do they do group activities? Because then it's different. But to me, if you are sick and you look like death, like you're really sick, you should not be at work, especially if you have the means to work from home and you can do your job from home. Take a sick day. Or don't even work. Just take a sick day and recover so that you can be 100% yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think,
Jim? It doesn't bother me, as long as they are taking precautions to make sure while they are there that they're not, you know, overly exposing anybody else to what they have.
Yeah. I hate being a hypocrite, but I do think I am one with this. I am someone who will gut it out, but at the same time, I'm telling other people, stay home. Yeah.
It depends what your illness is. Like, okay, if you have a cough and a sneeze, okay, fine. Come to work. I show up too.
Yeah.
But if I'm on my deathbed and I have this stomach flu and I'm vomiting,
stay home.
Do not come in alone.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, you don't want to hear somebody puking into their waste can.
And now that I have little kids,
blowing up the bathroom.
I'm like, please don't give this to me so I can give it to my kids who will not sleep for days and can't go to school. Please stay home. I do not want what you have.
This next one is titled Cancun. Dear John, when the NFL season ends, I see players and coaches joke about going to Cancun. How common is it to immediately get away? Did you ever do it? I feel like if I was on the Lions and I lost in the first round, it would be hard to bounce back and be happy on vacation.
Did I ever do it? Never went on a vacation. My vacation was always going home. Like when I played in Washington, always wanted to get back up north. So after my second year, we had a place up north. And for me, ice fishing, being outside, being able to get the last little bit of possible deer season, that was my vacation. And there are a lot of individuals, a lot of players that just simply want to get away from what they were doing. And some of them, it's going home. Some of it's being with family. Some of it's going on vacation. And yeah, trust me, there is, when you have seasons where you know you're out of it, and the U-Haul parked at the stadium is a thing. There are a lot of dudes that their families would be long gone before the final couple of weeks of the season, and they would leave from the stadium.
So how much of this is it's a job? You know what I mean? Like, we fans romanticize, like, lay it all out there.
It's 100% a job.
But it's a job.
Yeah.
And you look forward
to vacation.
Yeah.
Time off.
Yeah.
Okay, John, number four. This one is called Role Play. This should be fun. Dear John, this is an odd question, but I want some advice. My wife is addicted to online shopping. Something shows up almost every day, it seems, and she gets so excited when we get a delivery. And I was wondering if I should try role-playing as the FedEx or UPS guy. You know, full uniform and then give her the package. We haven't done much role-playing, but I think it could spice things up in the bedroom. Would it be embarrassing for myself, or should I just give it a shot?
Can't you repeat that part again? Show up and give her the package. Mm-hmm. I guess it depends if you do or not. Why not? Hey, what can Brown do for you?
Oh, well, maybe not.
Show up in the UPS outfit? I want to choose my words carefully here. A delivery that she is extremely excited for, you could intercept said delivery and be the one that shows up at the door. Now she shows up. She's already excited to get what you got. And now you give her the entire package.
Women do like a man in uniform.
A man
as
in
well.
Uniform. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Hey, if you're, we're all looking for every angle, every opportunity to make it happen.
Sure.
Especially if it's midday.
Afternoon delight.
Yeah. Kids are at school.
Should you talk about the role play before you do it, or you just jump right in?
Oh, don't talk about
no,
it.
No,
that
no.
makes it
yeah,
more
no,
awkward.
No.
Just go for it.
Yeah. You don't want to let her know ahead of time.
This last one is titled Artifact. John, I have a bit of a confession.
Yeah.
When I was 8 years old, I stole from a museum, and I don't mean the gift shop. We took a field trip with all kinds of exhibits. There were like Egyptian presentations, and they let us see some of the artifacts. It was really cool, and my 8-year-old brain just slid it in my pocket.
Uh-oh.
The school held assemblies trying to get it back. I was too ashamed to fess up. They had increasingly angrier assemblies until the museum finally just gave up. Now I'm 34 years old. I found it when I was moving. What do I do? Do I give it back? I feel like I'm in too deep.
Well, I mean, it gets the importance of all artifacts are important on some level. I mean, why not just leave it somewhere where it's going to be found?
Oh, like anonymously drop it off?
Yeah.
That's probably
the answer. Especially, you know, if you're okay, you're 8 year old, you know, you're probably not thinking about this. You're trying to just find a way out, but kids find great ways to get out of things. Leave it somewhere where you know it will be found. That's not connected. Don't leave it at your desk. Leave it on the teacher's desk. Although that does zero it in on the
that class.
Leave it on another teacher's desk.
Oh,
because then it zeroes in on everyone else.
Well, they can't go back in time now.
So at this point, you know, mail it back to the museum.
And no return address.
No return address. I'm sure they could find it, but they're just going to be happy to have it back at that point.
Where do you keep it, Heather?
I would probably just keep it. And for 34 years you've had this thing? I don't know what it is. Is it like something Egyptian?
A coin,
I don't know.
Or, yeah.
I don't know. Get a little stand for it. Put it by your TV. Like, I would totally just, I would keep it at this point.
I don't know. I mean, especially if it's kind of eating at you, there are ways that you can return things anonymously. And it get back to where it needs to be.
If it's still bothering you, sure, return it. But if it's not really bothering you and you just found this thing, like, okay, clearly it's not that important.
Well, how do you know?
It was to someone.
They had this on display at a museum. Clearly it was important.
I know they had angry meetings for it, but.
Bring it back.
After 34 years, nah.
Could you imagine the anxiety of an 8-year-old having stolen something and then the entire school is looking for it?
It belongs in a museum.
See, I think they probably have very little anxiety.
Yeah, so do you.
I don't know.
Yes, it's very Indiana Jones-es.
Get some of your response on the ticket text. That is Dear John. It's 97.1. Hanging out on a Thursday. Good morning. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg hanging out behind the glass. A lot to talk about this morning. 8:02, the Pistons lost, and Isaiah Stewart lost his temper. JB Bickerstaff went to his defense in the postgame. I'm not quite sure it was justified. We'll get to it top of the hour. The Tigers have added somebody.
Have they?
No, not him.
Oh.
But we do need to talk about that. That's in the 8 o'clock hour. We have some reactions to Dear John.
Let's have it.
All right. Showing up to work with a fever is the biggest a-hole move. Someone did that a couple weeks back at our work and took out multiple departments and caused all kinds of trouble.
Yep.
And maybe that's the, you know, I mean, I know it with kids, right? If they have a fever, you're not supposed to send them to school, and they're supposed to be 24 hours removed from having that fever before. Maybe that's the cutoff. If you've got a fever, and maybe that's the, you know, stay home. It's not just a sniffly nose.
Right.
I think it's one of those deals where, like, if you told me you were sick, I'd say stay home. But if I was feeling sick, I'd be like, I like doing this. I want to come in. It's not that bad. I feel like that's how a lot of people are, right? They don't want their coworkers to come in sick, but then they think they're a tough guy or they like their job or they want to gut it out. And the answer is, if you're sick, you should just stay home.
Yeah. And for us, like, we could do the show from home.
It's different, though.
But well, it's a little bit different. And at times it sounds different. But we don't have, like, you'd have to come in, get the equipment, and then go back.
And no one plans to be sick. At least some people get creative with their time off. But you're not supposed to plan to be sick.
Yeah.
Another one says, germ spread. You don't have to be right next to the person to catch whatever funk they're carrying. Keep your ass at home. Dennis in Allen Park. Has COVID taught us nothing? Stay home when you're sick. That's the consensus. Whole bunch on the artifact and a whole bunch on role playing.
Okay. Let's do the artifact first, because I think the role play will be much more interesting.
Someone says the artifact thief should dress up as the UPS or FedEx guy and deliver it back to the museum. Heather, starring in Tomb Raider, John in Lake Orion.
Yes. Just going to keep that one to yourself.
Yep.
Klepto Heather on the ticket text. Heather needs to go back to parenting class. Just keep it, ?
It took him when he was 8 years old. 34 years later, you find it? Just put it on display.
A chance
display
to
it?
Display it in your home.
Look what I stole.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah. How'd you get that? Oh, I stole it when I was 8 years old.
It's a priceless Egyptian artifact, and it's all mine.
So you walk into a house and somebody says, yeah, I stole that when I was 8 years old. What do you do?
What would you say? Good for you.
You're like, wow, what is it?
What a find.
Tell me the story.
It's a conversation piece.
Yeah, exactly.
911. I found them. Is there a reward?
On the role playing, women like men in UPS uniforms? Is it the shorts?
No, the shorts. The brown. No. But any uniform, I mean, I don't know.
Well, someone has a question for you, Heather. What's the hottest delivery guy attire?
Uniform?
UPS, pizza delivery, repairman, landscaper. What would be the hottest delivery role play?
Well, not pizza or landscape. They're not in uniform. They're wearing street clothes. Like, it's got to be somebody in an actual uniform, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So like a repairman with a tool belt.
Yeah, the flooring guys.
I don't look at that. Leave that door wide open, boys.
Does Colin dress up as an Oompa Loompa? Oh, you guys are bad. You guys are very bad.
No, the Lollipop Guild is more racist.
Oh, God.
Oh,
jeez. Colin, that's your wife that said it. Oh, my goodness. But that's kind of a genius thing to do, though, if you're looking to spice things up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, intercept and then show up. You probably have, you know, if you have that many packages showing up, I'm sure you have a Ring doorbell.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, do you stand in a spot where they can't necessarily see your face? So they don't know. They have to actually get to the door before they come to the realization that it's you. I would think that the spontaneity would happen more if they don't know coming to the door that it's you. Because if they come to the, if they already know and they look at the camera and they say, "Oh, that's my husband," now all of a sudden it's probably more funny than it is leads to anything exciting.
Well, and then you can play the game. Where are you? Missing a package?
Yeah. Looking for something?
This guy's going into full role play now.
Ticket Texter says the floor guys were for sure laying the hardwood.
Oh!
What a bomb!
Hey, we're going to talk a little Pistons in the next hour.
It's just a good thing it wasn't the plumber.
We're going to talk a little Pistons, a little Tigers, a little Lions as the show goes on here. Did you see, by the way, Adam Silver's proposal to help make the NBA more interesting?
You know, I saw this on the show sheet, and I must have stepped away when you guys were talking about it earlier. He wants to move from 12-minute quarters to 10-minute quarters?
Yes, he floated the idea of 10-minute quarters as a way to help shorten games and maybe draw more interest.
But keep the same amount of timeouts and keep the same amount of TV timeouts and keep all of that stuff? Like, it to me, none of this works.
Yeah, so he was on with, I think it was Dan Patrick. He said, I think of a television program being 2 hours, Olympic basketball being 2 hours, college basketball, 40 minutes. So this is kind of the thought. This is not official. It's just he's floating it out there. People are generally kind of down on the NBA right now. It's become homogenized. It's all threes. There's no low post. There's no mid-range. Everybody plays the same way. People are fed up with baiting for fouls. It feels like we're missing a little bit of juice. And people have speculated, do we add a four-point line? Do we move back the three-point line? What can you do to tinker with the game? And apparently that was one thing that Silver was at least interested in.
I'm curious as to how much they think this would, is this also in response to load management?
Maybe.
Like, if we take 4 minutes out of the game, does that somehow reduce the load that these guys experience throughout the course of a season? And obviously, over an 82-game season, I'm not going to do the math, you know, right now. Approximately 328 minutes.
You get a piece of paper and a pen. See what you come up with.
Yeah, I need a calculator. But you know, how much does that reduce the wear and tear on guys? Just simply making a move like that. That to me would be more of a logical, instead of fitting it into a 2-hour broadcast window. Because if you're sitting down for an NBA game, I don't think anybody really cares that it finishes in 2 hours. It's not like they're not trying to get to the next NBA game. You're watching your home team.
So I think of a sport that recently shrunk the time, baseball. But it's different. Baseball was trying to give you more action. You're not getting, this is your point, same amount of timeouts.
Right.
They're not going to cut back on TV commercials. We know they're not going to give up ad revenue. So is it just going to be less basketball as opposed to, it's the same amount of baseball. It's 27 outs. It's just taking place in a more compact, less pause kind of way.
Less downtime while competition is happening. Whereas if there's a running clock, and there's a shot clock, so they've already sped things up as much as they possibly can. I don't know what type of modification might make you more interested in the NBA, so that it's not just all 3-pointers. Because obviously they could back the 3-point line up, you know, at the top of the key.
I've seen people say that and just have it end instead of going down to the corners.
Oh, down to the corners,
because the corner three is like the closest shot to the hoop. It's worth three. It's like the shot that all offenses try to create. Yes. Did I say it's kind of worth three? It is worth three. But it's the shot every team works to get because it's the closest shot worth three. If you just eliminated it, I don't know if it would fix it. Maybe you try this out in the G League where you just, it's essentially an an arch that just stops at the hashes.
Yeah,
and it doesn't go all the way down the line. And then you could still shoot your threes, but they're going to go in at a lower percentage. So now all of a sudden, maybe that opens up incentivizing more of that mid-range variety that we've
lost. And it would 100% change the offense because now you're not setting up anything for that corner three.
Correct. You got to use the space differently. Anyway, I think people are at a pass with the NBA right now.
There's no question they're at a pass with the NBA.
And I think the Pistons being a little better helps, but only so much.
It does. And so the Pistons being better, I've actually sat down at night and made it a point that I want to watch Cade Cunningham. I want to watch the Pistons. Whereas before, is if I had nothing going on, now I'm actually, like last night, I wanted to make sure, hey, we had cake done, all this stuff, because it was Ellie's birthday, that I was ready to watch the Pistons at least in the first quarter.
Yeah, Pacers jumped them. It's become a bit of a rivalry, and it did boil over. We're going to talk about that coming up next. Isaiah Stewart gets tossed. JB Bickerstaff comes to his defense. We'll play that audio. It's 97.1.